Now see what's amazing. The Lord got me up a little early, and I've spent my time in prayer and worship this morning. But the last worship song that I was playing and singing along with when I left my house was this same song. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. One of the lines in there just slays me every time. It says, I'm sorry. Every time I came with an agenda. Every time I came with my own agenda, I'm just so sorry, Lord. It's not about our agenda. It's about His agenda. Amen. Thank you for the ministry, and thank you for hearing the Holy Ghost. Say it with me. Lord, take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm sorry every time I came with my own agenda. Lord, I just want you. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. When I was in prayer this morning, he speaks in pictures, you know. And one of the pictures flashed by showing me checking my oil in my town car. And I thought, what in the world? Lord, is the oil low? And then I'm supposed to ask you a question. You know, why do you check the oil? You're checking your oil level to make sure you've got sufficient supply in your car. Well, I finally got what he was saying. Listen, church, how is your endurance level? Great. Well, you need to keep your endurance level up to maximum. Because this is not over. It is not over. Amen. Amen. Now, yes, I did bring my Bible, and it's open. So let's start in Matthew chapter 7. Got some very specific things to say. My prayer anymore, see, of all the teachings of Pastor Dave that we all love so much, and all of the examples like baby piranha and the duck that was raised as a chicken, and on and on and on. Right now, my favorite, the one he's working on, is Nerd Boy and Nerd Girl. Because I've come, even as a teacher, I mean, I have, you know, knowledge is a, if you better have some knowledge if you're going to teach. But I'm at that place and been there a while now. Knowledge is not enough. Knowledge is not enough. We have to have Him. We have to have His presence. And I don't mean when we gather together for the world's sake. We need that, of course. But for the world's sake, it's more important that when you leave, His presence goes with you. Because that's what's going to happen. We're going to take His presence to the world. And not just the knowledge of His presence. I'm talking His presence. Moses in the Old Testament, I was reading it this week, he said, if you're not going to go with us, don't send us. And the Lord said, my presence will go with you. Well, boy, that's a type and a shadow. Jesus, even as he's telling them that he's going to return to the Father, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I will come unto you. In Matthew's account, right near the, almost to the end of Matthew's gospel, it says, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. Well, we're going to start in Matthew 7, verse 15. Now, these things are, there's three things spoken of here: false prophets, good trees, and bad trees. And many will say to me in that day. And then those that build their house on the rock. This is all one. Of course, This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. We've done a whole series on the Sermon on the Mount. But today we're going to look at a bracketed portion, starting in Matthew 7, 15 through Matthew 23. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Now you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, nor can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Now, we often separate the tree from the false prophets. And it's not totally wrong to do that. We can talk about you being a good tree, and the life, the sap that runs through you is Christ, who is love. And so out of you is going to come love and compassion, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, so forth. That's all right. But if we keep it together with how Jesus said it, what is the fruit of a false prophet? False doctrine. False doctrine is the fruit of a false prophet. Okay? Keep that in mind. Now, he's still talking about false prophets. He hasn't changed the subject, even though they have a little paragraph symbol in my King James Bible here. He hasn't changed the subject. Let me ask you again. What is the fruit of a false prophet? It's false doctrine. They get up and they say things that are not true, according to the Word of God. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Now, stop a moment. It says up there that the prophets come in sheep's clothing. So where are they coming? Into the church. They come in sheep's clothing, which means during the worship service, they're going to raise their hands and worship. Isn't that right? During prayer time, they're going to sit there and pray. You're going to hear them say, Lord, Lord. They may be involved. The Lord may even use them in the gifts. You know, again, I want to remind you, you can find all of the gifts of the Spirit in the Old Testament with unsaved people, all of them except for tongues and interpretation of tongues. All the rest of them you can find. So they may cast out devils. They may even speak with tongues. Okay? Verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me. I got to say it again because we've had these separated so much. He's still talking about false prophets that come in sheep's clothing and they'll say, Lord, Lord, right along with everybody else. But they have an agenda on the inside of them that is not of the Lord. Okay? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, not a few, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. So God may even use these people in the gifts. Okay? Verse 23, though. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. This week I was given some words, and as far as I know, these have not been judged by the elders like Bronk and Jim and others that they send out. Every time a word is given, everybody, it's sent out to everybody, and they judge it and look at it, and they go, well, yes, I think this is the Lord, or no, I think they're kind of mixed. It's always with good intentions, but sometimes it's a mixture, you know. And I'm going to read these. I don't think they have been judged like that, so I'm going to take the responsibility if they turn out to be wrong. But I don't think they are. They didn't come through me. But when I read them, if it's not exactly what the Lord is doing. Yes, sir. Return me with me now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. When in 2019, the Lord spoke through the prophet, through Pastor Bronk Flint. I'm serious. He'd get mad at me for calling him a prophet. But the Lord began speaking to us, and he's chosen that vessel to lay out the blueprint, what we call the blueprint for 2020, and even more since then. But all of us, as we're hearing those in the year 2019, we had no idea what was coming in 2020, did we? We didn't know COVID-19 was coming. We didn't know that the election that's still in turmoil was coming. I didn't know that my mother was going to be so severely attacked in her body. I did not know that my wife was going to be attacked in her body. Did you know the devil attacked my car? He did. And I've got a Kia, and it's got one of those road mappy things on it, whatever those road mappy things are. GPS, some kind of something. That thing went squirrely. You know, said, I know I'm in Oklahoma, although it shows me in Indiana. I know I'm here. And I kept thinking about taking it in to get fixed, and I kept hearing it's an attack. Wait a minute. The enemy has tech devils that could attack the GPS in my car. I said, I need to get this fixed. I need to take it in. It's an attack. Call it fixed. I call my Kia fixed. Shandarai, shandarai. I'm going to take it a little farther. We'll take it a little more. We have little, Sue likes these little lights to put along the edge of our sidewalk. And they have little tiny little solar panel on top. And then at night, they light up so you can see the edge of the sidewalk. You know, I like them too. During this, half of them went out. And I heard the same thing. I'm saying, I got to go get some more of those. And I heard the same thing. It's an attack. Call them lit. Walking by, you're lit. I don't care what you look like. Yesterday, coming home, after dark, every one of them was lit. Yesterday, all happened yesterday. My Kia GPS knew where I was again. Began working without anybody working on it, nobody touching it. Now, if he's interested in my sidewalk lights, and he's interested in my little Kia car, he's sure interested in the United States of America. Amen. And he's sure interested in everything that we've been saying and praying. We had no idea what we were facing. I thank God. Yes, sir. My job's to follow the pictures. Bronk recently did a message. I hope I get the title close enough where you can find it. It's one of his most recent ones, maybe the most recent one. But I believe he called it Completing the Purging Process. And he talks about King Josiah in the Old Testament, who was one of the last, maybe the last, good king. And at the time that he reigned, the northern kingdom had already gone into exile, permanently, by the way. And Judah was still in existence, but boy, they were backslidden bad. They'd had evil king after evil king come in there. And now this King Josiah comes. And the Bible says about him, there was no king ever like him before, no king like him ever after. This guy cleaned house. He purged. I had studied enough to know some of what Bronk brought out, but the depth of it, I really recommend that message to you. I believe it's called Complete the Purging Process, because that's all a type and a shadow for us. Is that not the year that he gave us, is to purge the temple, go through the fire, spend more time praying in tongues and fasting and confession and all, purging the temple? We're the temple, right? That's what the year has been about. Well, if you listen to Bronk or read it for yourself, boy, I did not. Did you know that Israel had become so backslidden that in the temple of God they had built an altar to Baal? In the house of God. In fact, they had put in altars of all, statues and altars of all kinds in there. Besides that, in the temple, around the temple, what they call the groves and the high places, and all through the city, idols had been erected to false gods. And suddenly there's a new king on the throne. This one's named Josiah. Hope I've got this all correct. Boy, he went to work. And he didn't care if you liked it, if you didn't like it, whether your daddy didn't like it or liked it, or your grandpa. Those idols are coming out, coming down. He commanded them, you go in there and you remove every idol. He not only removed them, he had them ground to powder, sprinkled. One group of those idols was sprinkled in a graveyard. Here, be with the rest of the dead. I love that image right there. When it says groves, Bronk had looked it up, and that was really a specific worship of a goddess of fertility. I can't think of her name right now, but a goddess of fertility. So they had built around the temple. Now, if you can picture this, little houses around the temple for male prostitution and female prostitution. Let's go to church. Well, that would be different. But he got all of those out of the land. One last one. Talk about backslidden. They had built an altar to Molech. Molech. Molech is the one that I taught on a few weeks ago. It was a metal thing that looked like a kind of a bull, but it was hollow on the inside, so they could build a big fire and get that thing just glowing red hot. And it had its arms outstretched like this, like you could place a baby in it. And they would heat that thing. Can you imagine the cry? How backslid can you be? Well, maybe enough to pass laws of abortion in your land. During the worship of Molech, they had drummers, many, many drummers pounding on these drums. You know why? Dry out. So it would drown out. That's the word. Drowned out the sound of those babies when they screamed. God, help us, Jesus. We have offered over 60 million babies. No less to the God of Molech. It's a miracle of miracles. His judgment hasn't already fallen on this nation. Nationally and personally, this has been a year of humbling for me. I hope it has been for you too. He's brought things to the surface. You know, I tried. Because I'm spending all day right now with my mother, and she's getting better, by the way. Thank everybody who's praying and around. I get calls from Australia, Africa, Brazil. How's your mom? We're praying for your mother. God bless you. Thank you. She's doing much better. She's getting better and better every day. I think she's going to be back to her normal self. And her appetite kind of went away for a while, but yesterday she wanted fried pork chops and green beans. That's a good sign. Hallelujah. Now, she said, that'll put the lining back in your stomach right there. See, this purging, I see, is absolutely necessary. God's not going to share us. The reason I brought up my mother, I'm with her all day, and so, you know, I can't quite do everything that I would normally do. I do pray under my breath a lot. My mother, by the way, she sits in agreement with me. We have not missed a day making the confessions over the election and several other prayers, praying for President Trump. She's just, amen, every now and then, amen, while I'm reading them out, you know. But then yesterday, it was just got a little boring in the afternoon. I thought, I'll switch on a football game, which used to, that was an idol for Gary. I'd sit there 6 hours, 7 hours on Saturdays watching football. Didn't think a thing about it. I tried yesterday, and there were some good games on it. I said, I can't believe I used to sit here and watch this. It's lost all value to me. I just switch it off and begin praying again. Well, I wonder what else is in that temple. See, we're in the month of December now. We don't have much longer till the end of this year. But boy, he hasn't told me to let up, has he you? How is your endurance level? I think that may be the title. How is your endurance level? Better do a checkup. Did you make... Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. Did you make the confessions yesterday? How about the day before that? I know you're going to today. Because we lock the doors when you come in. Before we're out of here, we're doing them again. But I was handed, again, I'm back to these, I think they're prophecies, but the man who gave them to me didn't say they were. But these are things that he's written, that he's heard from the Lord. And again, if anyone, if they're not God, I'm taking full responsibility because they have not gone through the normal process, okay? So it's my fault if something's out of line here. Let me read this first one to you. Now, we've preached so much about Joel's army and what's coming, right? So this one is in that context. God is preparing an army, preparing his bride to expand his kingdom throughout the earth. Now, not just the United States. He is purging his church. He is removing all leadership after the order of Saul and replacing them with people like David, whose heart is after God. He is going to bring down all the works of men, and only those works born of his Spirit will remain. Do not be deceived, beloved, for there will always be two works being done in the earth, a work of the flesh and a work of the Spirit. If you are not diligent to hear the Spirit, you will be deceived by the church that is run by the flesh. Because outwardly, it will appear to be of the Spirit. Just as the Jews in Jesus' time, and I would say Pharisees probably, just as the Pharisees in Jesus' time seemed to be doing the work of God, so it will be in our time. Now, do y'all remember the return that happened in Washington, D.C.? And the sound of the shofar was heard all day long. And from morning till late at night, preacher after preacher, minister after minister, male and female. And then they even had some Mary wallpapers and Joe Publics come and repent, repent, repent. And one of the big things was, forgive us, Lord, for running our churches after man's wisdom instead of building it on your power. Remember that? What you call today a seeker-friendly church, where you remove all the... Nobody's allowed to stand up and prophesy. Nobody's allowed to lay hands on the sick. You don't cast out no devils because they want to make it, quote, seeker-friendly. Well, what that really means is they're removing God out of the church and going to run it man's way. And you can really build some big churches that way because you're telling the people what they want to hear. Now, I heard another minister ask this question, but it's a really good question. Since the return, the return so gave me hope. I still have it on my phone so I can play it every now and then. It gave me hope. But another, so now it's been, see, when was that? That was before the election. So it's been well over a month or two since that event. Have you heard of a single mega church where the pastor repented for that? I haven't. Not a single church that I'm aware of has a pastor that has a church like that got up and said, I repent. From now on, we are going to allow the Holy Spirit in here. From now on, anything God wants to do is what's going to happen. Have you heard of a single one? I haven't either. How bad do things have to get before repentance comes? See? But I believe that's a real word from God. He's raising up a bride. He's raising up an army that is going to be led of His Spirit. And let me say this, empowered by His Spirit. The last thing the world needs to see is the works of man clothed in religion. That's the last thing the world needs to see. They need to see Jesus clothed in man. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable for his use. That is your reasonable service. Why do we offer our bodies to Him? So He can possess them. So He can dwell in us. No less than the Father dwelt in Him. Okay. Second one. There will be a large, organized Christian religion that will be an enemy of what God is doing in the earth. Well, we saw that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Organized religion is really what put Jesus on the cross. And just as Jesus was on the outside of organized religion doing the will of God, so it will be with us. There will be those who hear what the Spirit is saying and will come out of the organized church to join the true church and will go about as Jesus, doing the will of the Father. Just as the religious leaders persecuted Jesus, so it will be in our time. And I believe that. Now, as I'm reading that, that doesn't mean we still won't assemble. Thank God we still can in this country. I heard another good question the other day. Said, if you don't think politics matters, try carrying your Bible down the street in China, and you'll find out real quick, politics matters. The righteous rejoice. The people rejoice when the righteous rule. There it is. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I read an article just within the past week that a new edict has been passed in, or has been proclaimed in China, that any church that will not worship communism as God will be closed down. Politics matter. You hear me? Anyway, I'm not preaching on that today. But there will still be assemblies of believers. We will still, all through the New Testament, we're told to gather together. Now, I'm going to remind, I have to follow the pictures, you know that. Listen, the fastest growing church, now not the biggest church at all, but the fastest growing church on planet Earth today is in Iran, where they'll behead you. They will cut your head off if they find you evangelizing for Jesus Christ. Proselytizing is absolutely forbidden there. So there they have to meet in secret. They can't meet like we're meeting today, the Christians I'm talking about. They meet in homes and they move from home to home. And it has to be kept that way. Otherwise you could wind up in prison or in a prison camp or actually killed. Not only you, but your family too sometimes. Parts of India are the same way. Parts of India. Now here in America, there's still going to be churches. There are going to be buildings because when you can, when it's legal, we are to gather together for multiple reasons, okay? But what he's trying to do, it's okay to have Christians in the building. You just can't have the building be God. And you can't have man's agenda, man's power. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by my Spirit, says the Lord. But don't be surprised if organized religion comes after you, same way it went after Jesus. Here's the third one. The religious leaders that will not submit to what God is doing, and they hold on to the old ways and their position in the church, will persecute those who are following after God. So fear not, beloved. For even though many will be deceived, those that know me and know my word will not be deceived. Keep your heart. There it is. I open up my heart to you. There's that song again. Keep your heart sensitive to my spirit and develop your relationship with me. For it is me, your heavenly Father, working in you both to will and to do of my good pleasure. I have placed my spirit in you to lead and guide you into all truth. Boy, there it is. There it is. One last warning, beloved. Do not be deceived that this message is not for you. There is no church or group on earth that is immune from becoming a man-controlled church instead of a Holy Spirit-controlled church. See, I'm coming back to that in just a minute. Any work that is begun in the Spirit, the flesh will rise up and try to control it. That's true. Hold fast in these trying times, and you will come forth as pure gold tried in the fire. Blueprint for 2020. There's no going around or escaping. I saw that wall of fire. Couldn't go to the left around it. Couldn't go to the right around it. It was too tall. You couldn't get over it. Couldn't go under it. And what I heard was there is no going forward from this point without going through the fire. Now, the reason I put my finger there when it says there is no church or group on earth that is immune from becoming a man-controlled church instead of a Holy Spirit-controlled church. See, Dave Roberson is a smart man. Tim Stemple is a smart man. If you really knew the history of Tim Stemple before he became a Christian, I'm not going to get in trouble, I'm not going to say much, but it's very impressive. He had credentials in the world that would astound you. Okay? And now, one of the things that always impressed me in our little workout-friendly church, where you can walk the green line and pray and get your workout at the same time, because the building is settled, you know, different ways, wasn't peered correctly. And I understood this maybe 10 years. We'd been here 10 years, you know. And I'm thinking, you know, Dave is just not willing to change the message. He's smart. Tim is smart. They know how to get people if their goal is to build a big church. They know how to tell people what they want to hear. They could do that if they wanted to. And we could have chandeliers in a whole different building and but one of the things I always admired is I knew they could do that anytime they decided that they'd have to abandon what the path God put them on. But I knew they could do it if they wanted to. And they could have a mega church right here that would rival anywhere. But one of the things I've always admired, they're just not willing to do that. We're going to do what God told us to do, no matter what. Well, praise God for that. Now, do your best to receive this. There's two more on this page. Do your best to receive these as positive words, like a wake-up call, and not with condemnation. Okay? Gary 2. In the past, I have allowed you to be children while I was preparing my people for this hour, but those days are over. I will no longer tolerate wrong attitudes and childish behavior among my people. Now, you know he's not talking to somebody that got born again yesterday at 2:00 in the afternoon. You understand what I mean? This word is a word to people that's been at this. It's people like us all around the world that we've had a lot of time to be seasoned. Okay, we're ready for meat, not just milk. Right? Somebody say right. Thank you. Okay. He's talking to a mature group here, or a group that should be mature. So I'm going to read one. I'll just start that one again. I'll quit talking and just read it. In the past, I've allowed you to be children while I was preparing my people for this hour, but those days are over. I will no longer tolerate wrong attitudes and childish behavior among my people. I finally have my mighty warriors who are ready for the intense training and the warfare ahead. And I will not hold them back because of some who insist on remaining children. I will no longer have a backbiting, gossiping, murmuring, arrogant, unforgiving, uncaring people. I'm coming for a bride without spot or wrinkle. Judgment begins in my household. If you are harboring anything in your heart that's not according to my word, you will not be able to stand when the heat is turned up. You've known me as Daddy, and I am, but now you know me as the refiner. Well, this year has certainly been that, has it not? Okay. Boy, this one's almost like he's just talking to me personally, but I know it's to everybody. Beloved, I see the emptiness and the discontent in your heart. You thought that serving me and doing ministry in my name would satisfy the longing in your heart, but you have been disappointed and frustrated. Your desire to know me is so great that you feel your heart will burst. You've wondered if there is something wrong with you because you don't get excited about church activities and programs like others around you. Your strong desire to know me brings great joy to my heart. Be encouraged, beloved, for I am the one who has placed that desire within you. I am drawing you unto myself. No amount of activity or successful ministry will fulfill that desire within you. Only knowing me intimately will satisfy the longing and desire of your heart. Get this sentence. I'm not coming back for servants. I am coming back for a bride. Did you hear that? So rise up, my fair ones. Come away with me. How many times have we heard that in the blueprint? Come away with me. Away from the activities, the programs, and the traditions of men. You will not find me in those things. You will find me when you search for me with all of your heart and soul and mind and strength. Don't worry about working for me. Just spend time with me. The most effective ministry will always be a fruit of relationship with God and not a means to a relationship with God. In other words, you can teach on worship all you want to, and it might be excellent teaching, but that teaching alone won't get it done. You yourself are going to have to spend time in His presence. We're at that parable of Dave's nerd boy and nerd girl. Knowledge was great for a while, and it satisfied for a while, and we needed knowledge. Yes, sir. But I forgot to print that out. I missed an instruction, so I'm just going to have to tell you because it's my bad. I've read it before. There's a prophecy given by Smith Wigglesworth that Lester Summerall published, and I've got it at home, and we've read it here before. But Smith had a vision of several waves of revival that would come in the future. One of them was the big healing revivals, and we saw that right after World War II. And that was the big tent revivals with Oral Roberts and so many other, Catherine Kuhlman and many of the other names that you would recognize. Great healing revivals, and there was a lot of people saved during that. And then after that, he saw the charismatic renewal. I don't remember exactly how he worded it, but he saw the Spirit of God moving through all the denominations, people getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. And of course, that's what we recognize from the 70s and 80s as the charismatic renewal. Then after that, he saw a wave of teaching where there's whole stadiums would fill and the Word of God would be taught. And, it would be a wave, and it was all God. God intended for that. And that's what we would sometimes call the word of faith. But it's not just limited to the word of faith camp. There's been so much knowledge. This generation is so accountable. But then after that, he said, oh, after that I see the biggest wave of all, where all the gifts of the Spirit are manifested in the people. And there will be a wave of God's power sweep the world like it's never been seen before in the history of man. And I believe we are at the door. We are at the door. We've been through the other. See, Smith saw those. He died in 1947, same year I was born. So he didn't really see the great healing revivals. He saw his own, you know, but he didn't see what we saw. He didn't see the, in the natural, the charismatic renewal. He didn't see the word of faith type teachings of just the knowledge of the word. But he saw them in the spirit. Well, if he saw those correctly, and those have come to pass, I believe the last one he saw is going to come to pass also. And I believe we're at the door then. Now, so far, I have not received any different instructions from the Lord from the blueprint. And he said, give us this year. So I'm still, even though I have not been able to be here, and you know I would have been, had it not been, I don't know, I never did get any wisdom on how to handle the situation with my mother other than what I'm doing. And I pray, but we're making the confessions every day, and we're praying. I'm praying under my breath all the time. She's trying to pray in tongues. I'm not, she is. She's a sweetheart. Love, she's loved the Lord longer than I've been alive, I'll tell you that. And, thank you, Lord. But I haven't received any different instructions, so I'm going to keep doing the blueprint. I'm going to keep making the confessions. You have a hard time getting me to say anything different than what we confess. And I've already weaned myself from the news. I really recommend you wean yourself from the news until God changes the news. And I don't mean the subject, I mean the people. Yes, sir. Endurance is the key. How's your... Okay, you got to use the dipstick. Let's check now. What's your endurance level? How you doing? How you doing? See, did you make prayer this week? Yeah. Did you make the confessions yesterday? I'm getting some nods and some people aren't moving at all. How's your endurance level? Turn it up. Turn it up. Let's leave everything on the field. No matter how it turns out. Now, I'm still holding out. I've got a way I think God wants it to go, and I believe it's going to go that way. But I feel like the Hebrew children. Okay? You say you're going to throw us in the fiery furnace. Well, our God's able to deliver us out of that fiery furnace. But whether you throw us in that furnace, whether you don't throw us in that furnace, we will not bow. We will not serve any other God. Amen. Hallelujah. So... repeat after me, please. Father, I present myself to you as one who is willing to make up the hedge and stand in the gap before you on behalf of this election. I come against a spirit of confusion that would want to impact the way the votes are counted. I declare the spirit of confusion bound in Jesus' name. According to the power and authority given to me by God, in the name of Jesus, I speak to you, spirit of confusion. I command that you silence your tongue and cease your actions. You will not have an impact on this election. I come against every principality, power and ruler of darkness, and all spiritual wickedness that would present a stronghold against the man God knows should be elected. I speak to you and I command you to be cast out now. In the name of Jesus. Jesus has given to me the keys of the kingdom. Whatever I bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever I loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Satan, you and all your devils are bound concerning this nation and this election. None of your plans for interfering will succeed. I call the Father's will to be accomplished. Jesus has completely and totally defeated you and all of your principalities, powers, and devils. He made an open show of you and triumphed over you for all eternity. And He has given to me that same victory. I call you and everything about you and your devils completely, totally, and thoroughly defeated in this election. Satan, you and your devils have lost. The victory of Christ is known in this election. You cannot think straight to carry out your plans. You speak against other devils, and your house is divided. It cannot stand. It has come to an end. You are thoroughly and utterly defeated. You walk in boldness. I'm so sorry. You walk in blindness. We walk in boldness. You walk in blindness. Division has filled your camp. Lord, make your words in our mouth like fire. And may the plans of the enemy be as wood, consumed and devoured by that fire. Set ambushments against all those who are trying to interfere with and alter the outcome of the election. May confusion fill their camps, as it did in the camps of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. May they devastate each other. May their plans and agendas collapse at their feet. Just as you revealed to Elijah the plans of the Syrian army, expose the plans of the ungodly who are trying to corrupt this election. Father, as heirs of salvation, we ask that angels be dispatched to assist these things to be done. Angels, go to your assignments as the Father directs. Enforce the victories we have spoken this day. Drive back the forces of evil. Father, we offer up prayer in the Spirit. And we ask that the Holy Spirit pray through us your perfect will concerning the outcome of this election. Jesus, the government of your kingdom rests upon you. Likewise, I say that the government of this nation rests upon you. May the man the Father wants as our president be elected. May all the votes cast for him be brought to light. And may all illegal votes be brought to light. Father, this battle is not ours, it is yours. You are with us, O God. And we praise you and we worship you. For your mercy endures forever. We praise you for the beauty of your holiness. We praise you for our salvation. We exalt you and glorify you for the victory in this election. Now listen to me. No matter which way it turns out, and again, I have a way that I think it should go. Either way it goes, our work is just beginning. Because the election does not produce revival. The nation does not produce revival. Revival changes the nation. I want to remind you again of that vision that the Lord showed me concerning abortion. Now, and again, I want to say this. Listen, there's forgiveness for everything. Every sin of man can be forgiven except blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. So even if you had an abortion, Sue and I paid for abortion one time before we got saved. We had, quote, the wisdom of the world at that time, thought we were helping somebody. But thank God for the blood of Jesus. So if you've had an abortion or multiple abortions, there is forgiveness. But listen, now that we know the truth, abortion is murder. Not just plain murder. They can call it a woman's right to choose all they want to, but God never gave a mother the right to kill her own baby, to murder her baby. Okay? So it is absolutely murder. Now I want to remind you of that vision real quick, because now here's where our work is cut out for us, either way. In that vision, I was looking out the window of my house, and across the street, I saw a little toddler, 3 or 4 years old, running from its mother. And at first I thought they were playing. But then I saw that the mother had a big butcher knife in her hand, and she was chasing that baby to kill it. Well, I go bounding out the door. I can't stand by and let that happen while, you know, if I could stop it. So I'm rushing across the street, and I got right in the middle of the street. By the way, it wasn't the people that live in that house. This is a vision, okay? But anyway, I don't want you to go look them up and anyway. I'm bounding out the door and running across the street, and I get exactly halfway across the street, and suddenly two policemen appear, one on each arm, and they stop me. And they said, "You can't stop this. In this nation, it is legal for mothers to murder their babies. You can't stop this." Well, that was all of it. Oh, then I heard a voice above me. I didn't look up, but I heard a voice above me saying, abortion, murder, is not a political issue. It is a righteousness issue. Amen? Well, then later I had that same thing almost identically again, except this time there were no policemen. And that mother was in a jail cell, believe it, out on the grass. I know, you know how dreams are. A jail cell with bars, maybe 8 foot by 8 foot, maybe a little smaller. And like a jail cell there. And she's inside of it now. So that tells me the law got changed, right? But there was the baby over beyond her reach playing in the grass. And that mother still had that butcher knife. She was reaching through the bars, trying to reach the baby and still kill it. Now that tells me our work's just beginning, because even if the election goes the way that we want it to go, and even if Roe versus Wade is overturned, even if abortion, if the laws are changed, that's not the answer, because they'll still be aborting them. They just do it in a more dangerous way. The only answer is changed hearts, and that's the revival. So no matter what happens, what I'm saying, no matter how it goes, even if it goes the way we want it, our work is just beginning, because we have got to have this real outpouring, this real revival. Absolutely not the work of man. It's got to be the work of God by the Holy Spirit to change the hearts of this nation. That mother has got to come to the point where she will not want to kill that baby. And that's just one of many issues. So regardless, people, better check your endurance level. Say, "Oh, I'll be glad when 2020 is over." Well, that's because you haven't seen what's coming in 2021 yet. Yeah. But I don't know that. You okay? All right. I'm going to read what I think is the most recent prophecy that came through Pastor Bronk, where he's talking about the war that is coming. And give me a second. I just try and come prepared. I don't have them in order because I never know exactly what he's going to do. Now, the first one, "It's Too Late." I love that one. I'd love to read it. But this is the one that he's talking about right now. This came through Pastor Bronk on October 14th of this year. The title they put on it is The War of Revival. Say, don't think if the election goes the way that I think it should go. Let me, you know, already know what that is. That's yay. No. If that happens, there's going to be more violence in the street than you can imagine. And city's on fire now, for sure. Okay? So the war of revival. Regardless, either way it goes, we've still got this war in front of us. I'll read this and then that'll be it, I think. For these things I say unto my church, for those who press in and those who understand the enduring process. Say, I forgot that was in the first sentence. Check your endurance level. Okay? You better, not just through December, into 2021, till we have revival. Who understand the enduring process and who understand these things that are coming upon the face of the earth. For even as I promised my revival, thank God he promised it, also understand this, that there is a great war set in front of the church in days ahead, says the Spirit of Grace. Now, this war will be fought with great victory in the face of miracles and things that have not been seen since the first church, says the Spirit of Grace. No one man will lead this, but it will be led by a marching army. But also I warn you in the Spirit that as this war is fought and will be won on many fronts, and as I have said this night, that it has been released, it has been declared, it has been granted for this time and season that revival is among you, also understand that your enemy, though limited in knowledge, understands that something is coming. And the revival that will produce the harvest will also change the nation, says the Spirit of Grace. For even now, as my angel army is being set in effect for this outpouring, know that the hordes of hell and the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness and every other spiritual kind of wickedness, as in demonic powers, are also receiving instruction. Because they understand that something is coming. They've seen the signs of my moves in the earth in times gone by, and how that I would solicit from my people the prayers necessary for the authority for my spirit to move. And they understand when my spirit is about to do something. Although they cannot stop it, they will do everything possible in this nation in the next few months to bring forth chaos like you have never seen in many places. Not all places. But in many places, events will be turned into things that could escalate to something similar to a war zone. And we've already seen the beginnings of that. But know this, the prayers of the saints avail much. Satan is like a child that has been said yes to for many decades. No generation in the past 40 plus years has said no to him in his way, from him having his way in this nation in regard to laws and effect, that would continually destroy the image of my word in this nation. And now, because of the prayers of the saints, know this, that these things are not by accident. That as revival comes to a place of precipice, right where we are, as revival comes to a place of threshold, so is the nation moved in many different ways, says the Spirit of the Lord. And when this nation is reproved and certain things are changed, and even before they are changed, know this, that the enemy will throw temper tantrums like a child that thrashes about. But understand this, that even as a child is subdued, so the church will subdue these principalities. Even as I have described to you that angels are taking orders from me and from my spirit for what my intention is and the deliberateness of this revival, understand also that your counterpart is getting ready to unleash what he believes will thwart this and stop it. But understand that, as I said, nothing will be able to stop this tidal wave of my glory, says the Spirit of the Lord. Glory. The revival changes the nation. Not the change of the nation causes the revival. It is not by might nor by power, but it is by my spirit, says the Lord, that all these things are being brought about. And this is the last generation, says the Lord. These things will come about and bring into effect my great harvest. Two more paragraphs. On the right hand and on the left, you will see great things coming about. And at the same time, you will be seeing judgment in churches and in ministries. The candlestick of many well-known ministries will be removed. And the lack of anointing and the dryness of an arid place having no spirit will be my judgment. But if these will turn, I will receive them back again. Cities will be judged. Places will be judged. But at the same time, my spirit will be working to bring forth a great harvest, says the Spirit of grace. Stand in me. Stand in me and declare these things as if they had happened yesterday. Because the day that you stand in, as I said, is far spent. And a new horizon is upon you now. A place that will be new to all of you. A place that you have petitioned me for all of these years going forward, when you could not see and you could not hear. But I say unto you, these days are upon you, says the Spirit of grace. We'll see you in 30 minutes.